Good morning.
Good morning.
A Christmas tale. A Christmas tale. A Christmas tale. Thomas stared into the fire and watched the flames lick up the side of the blackened billy. It was a good fire. It needed to be. Tonight outside, the southerly, the cleansing cold southerly was blowing through the valley. It was shaking the trees like a giant hand, grabbing each trunk and rustling it, and the wave would come down the valley like a giant broom, brushing each one. The rain sheeted across the valley, hitting the sides, causing the streams to full and surge down to the giant Arahura River, not far from the hut in which he sat. It was a solid hut, built by solid men, funded by a solid government in the 1960s in New Zealand. Thomas had come here often as a small boy, walking behind the giant footsteps of his father through the bush, stalking deer. He had fond, fond memories of those days walking behind his father. His father, a big man, carrying the rifle, walking through carefully, not standing on any branches or dislodging any rocks that might disturb the deer. As they walked through past the giant gnarled rata trees and the giant straight as a gun barrel mountain cedars extending up to the skies, Thomas would keep his eye on his father's hand, because that was the signal to stop and to look, because ahead there would be the deer. Many times they went deer stalking, but never once did they ever shoot a deer. As they came across the deer, the hand would come up, Thomas would stop, his father would stop, Thomas would see the deer, and he would envisage the deer continuing to live many more lives, and for them to come back and see that deer again. And as the father took aim and fired his rifle, more often than not, hitting a branch 6 or 7 feet above the deer, he would turn to his son and say, "Ah, life goes on, eh, Thomas?" "Certainly does, Dad," Thomas would reply. "Must get that gun barrel straightened out, eh, Thomas?" "Certainly must, Dad." And on they would go. The sound of the boiling water in the blackened billy brought Thomas back to the present. He reached up to the shelf and took down an old tin, and taking the lid off, he tipped a small handful of black tea leaves into his hand and skillfully tossed them into the boiling water. On the boil, the blackened tea, best thing when you're in the bush, billy tea. He lifted off the billy and placed it in the hot embers at the side of the fire. He'd had a good meal. It was sausages and rice and watercress from the creek nearby. He thought another childhood memory of going down to the local butcher shop, and where Mr. Hendricks, a big burly man with thick black curly hair and a big bushy moustache, would be working. And every time that Thomas went in there with his mother to get the butcher supplies, Mr. Hendricks would say, "Ha! Master Thomas! Good to see you! Here we go!" And he'd come forward and, kneeling down on his haunches, he'd hold out his hands, both clenched in front of the small boy. "Which hand's it in today, Master Thomas? Which hand's it in today?" And Thomas would look at both hands and reach out his small hand and tap one of Mr. Hendricks's giant burly fists. Mr. Hendricks would turn his hand and open it up, and inside there was a half a sausage. "Oh, Master Thomas, every time a winner, you are a genius." And standing up, he would walk back behind the counter. "He guessed it again. He got it again, Carol. That boy's a master." And Master Thomas would put that sausage in his mouth and trying to chew it with his big grin on his face as best he could, often wondering what happened to the other half a sausage. As he thought of these memories and looked at the fire, suddenly the door opened, and as he turned around, in the time it took to turn around, inside the room was a tall stranger. "Good evening," said Thomas. "Good evening, Master Thomas," said the tall man. Suddenly, another man was standing beside the tall one. He was shorter, more rounded. "Good evening, Master Thomas," said the second man. "Oh, good evening," said Master Thomas. And then a third man was standing inside the hut. He was much shorter. "Good evening," Thomas said. "Good evening, Master Thomas," said the third man. There was something about the three men that was very common to them all. They had clear blue eyes that, as they spoke, looked straight through Thomas. "Are you guys brothers?" Thomas said. "Yes," said the tall one. "We're the King brothers. We've come from a long way away. I'm in Australia. My brother here, he's from France. And my other brother, he's living in Germany." "Oh, great. Come over, have a cup of tea. I've just put it on." "Thank you," said the three men. And as they moved forward, they took off their bags, their packs, and out of their bags, each took something special. The tall one took out a large barramundi fish. "Wow," said Thomas. "This is for you, Master Thomas," said the tall man. "Enjoy." "Oh, thank you." The second man, from his bag, took a bottle of French champagne with the dew still freshly on it. "Oh, amazing," thought Thomas. "This is great. Thank you." The third man took out of his bag, uncrumpled, a large loaf of stollen bread from Germany, thick with fruit. "Oh, thank you." "For you, Master Thomas," said the third man. "Oh, great. Sit down, guys, and I'll get outside and get some more wood for the fire." "Merry Christmas," said the three men together as Thomas stood up to leave. "Oh, that's right. It's Christmas. Thank you. Thank you. And what are you guys doing here at this time of, you know, year?" "Well, we're interested in astronomy. And at the moment, there's a beautiful star which has made its appearance right here, above this hut.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, yes. As Thomas went out and grabbed a handful of wood and came back in, he was surprised to see the three men, the three brothers King, were no longer there. Ah, that's strange. He went outside to see if they were there. They were not. As he looked around, a deer came out of the bush and came up to him and nuzzled his nose under Thomas's arm. Thomas noticed it was no longer raining. It was no longer windy. As he looked up, the sky was full of stars. And as he looked up higher, right above his head, was a very large, bright star. Oh, said Thomas, magical. Life goes on, he thought to himself. Eternally, added the deer. And Thomas went back into the hut to enjoy his barramundi fish, his stolen bread, and his bottle of fine French champagne. A Christmas tale. A Christmas tale.